Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Oh, that's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, it's Friday, and you know what my question is going to be. Where were you all week? Oh, my. Have we had a week over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph? Oh, my goodness. We started off shaking the Monday morning blues, trying to figure out, is he or she the one? Yep. Yes, we did with the Due Time crew. And, you know, we checked in with the crew, and, you know, we pointed out some things, and such as, are they rushing the relationship? You know, they just got started, and, you know, 2 weeks in, already they talking about marriage and the future. And what else do we see? Some of the signs. They always have to be number one. Okay. And let's throw this one out there. He or she keeps too much to themselves. They don't tell you nothing, and you have to find out everything on your own. Well, you know, we went over that for 2 weeks. So between 1 week of the things that you say to yourself when things just may not be right, and then the following week where you kind of know that that's not the one, and these other little things coming along kind of let you know, you should know by now if he or she is the one, okay? Well, we rounded off shaking the Monday morning blues with the switch tip. Stop moving in fear. Yeah, this week we got two doses of the fear factor, letting you know how you are to move in faith and not fear. Okay? All right. And, you know, that's a big thing, you know, because we got to make sure we're paying attention to certain things. And one of the things we want to make sure we're paying attention to is we're not letting the enemy rule our life, or we're not letting that spirit of ours, you know, keep us in a certain place that won't give God the glory out of our life. And as long as you're moving around in fear, that ain't happening. God's getting no glory out of your life, okay? All righty. Well, we moseyed on down to Church Funk Day with our pastors Ed Perry, Charlene Bid, and our minister AJ, and we were talking about the cussing Christians. Kirk Franklin was on the radar this week as he and his son Kerryon got to fussing and fighting, and it spilled out onto social media waves. And we weighed in with the New Time crew pastors, and we wanted to know, you know, what they thought. And you know what? bing, 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 bing. Kirk still gets the thumbs up because we talked about the fact that some children can take you there. No, we did not condone his behavior. Absolutely not. However, we can understand. And so can you, because you gets to acting up when things don't go your way sometimes, too. So what's the difference, you know? The forgiveness factor was brought up. And, you know, we have to look at things, you know, in a different way. We can't be throwing folk out. That's what the pastor said, right? My, we can't throw people out. We can't throw people out. And, you know, everybody has something that they're still fussing with. And, you know, old Kirk, yeah, he came back and he apologized. And, you know, we talked about that, too. So, you know, we ended up, it ended up being a whole day about that. Wow. Wednesday. Wow, Wednesday rolled around. And guess what was on the radar for Vivian's wow story? Yeah, well, Indianapolis was the target point for this week as them stimulus checks took a different turn out there when old Malik shot the family up because he was mad because his lady friend would not share her money. And the women of worship came through and gave some advice on how and what we should do with them stimulus checks. Yes, that ended up being the entire advice morning. Yes, we were going to already talk about advice and what advice, you know, we should have taken. We never even got there. Nope, never even got there. But we had fun. We had fun. And unfortunately, you know, lives are lost, you know, when people lose sight of what's really important, and that's love and fellowship and, you know, being united and taking care of our babies. And it just didn't go down like that. And, you know, we had fun, but, you know, of course, the topic itself, that main topic, you know, was not funny. But you know how it goes down over here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. We had our friend Dwayne come through with his tech advice regarding a portable printer. Yeah, it went down just like that. And yeah, so if you know you got that little portable business, that portable printer might be the way to go. And it's only $37, so you should be able to afford that. Okay, now we finished off Wow Wednesday with our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene Beard. And we're talking about faith over fear when it comes to how we acted when it did some dollars. Yes. So I told you we got double dose of faith, fear, conversation today, this week. Yeah. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. All right. So Thursday, Therapeutic Thursday was here before we knew it, and we had a different therapy session this week. We had the millennials versus the old cranky Due Time crew. Well, you know, our Due Time crew is not cranky, except for when it comes to the rules of the house. Yes. Well, we talked with the millennials yesterday, and we ran some things by them that, you know, other millennials say kind of get to them, and we weighed in on whether it got to them too, and how the adult children and the parents, you know, they weigh in on these issues, and do they agree or do they disagree? And you know what, I gotta tell you, we had the typical conversation yesterday. Yep. It didn't turn out to be no different for us here than it's for you there. Oh, yeah. I think outside of Jada, who, you know, happens to not had a couple of those experiences, yeah, Our millennials had that thing going yesterday. Our due time crew came back saying the typical things that parents say. Yeah, it wasn't really authentic yesterday, but it was a good conversation to be had, because now one got an opportunity to see how the other feels. Live, up in personal, up close and personal. Yep. So we had a good time yesterday. We had a good time over. Yeah, I don't think we laughed as much, very few other weeks than we did this week. Yeah, we had a good time this week. So it behooves you to go back and listen to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And the best part about it is you can do that at your leisure and on so many different platforms. Yeah. Well, today is Freestyle Friday, and we do what we want to do over here, and that's give the men the floor. Yes, the men have their say today, and it's kind of like in the vein of what we've been doing all week. Yeah. So, you know, they've been turning it out for the past, you know, few Fridays, sending us off with something to think about, and we're looking forward to them doing it again today. All right? So, 516-387-1358 is the number you'll want to call, just in case that internet gets a little wacky. And I have been advised to remind you, if you call in and you get disconnected, just hang up and call. You know, well, you already hung up, but call back. I mean, this phone system, man, I'm blowing Spectrum up. They are the pits. Oh, my goodness. They keep coming through, and they're not giving us any answers. And poor old Pastor Steph just keeps getting cut off every other day. But you are so great, because you hold it down. Yeah, I try to keep the music going, and we don't, you know, get all the way cut off. Thank God. You know, he's holding it together, because his word still has to through. So that's why that phone number is so crucial, because just in case your internet gets a little wacky, along with our internet and our phone lines getting a little wacky, you just might need to call that number again. So right now, you should really have that number memorized. So come on, say it with me. Come for those who are just, you know, dialing in or seeing this number for the first time, come on, let them know how, you know the number, 516-387-1358, if you want to talk with us. That's the number to use. We always want to hear from you. You know, don't be shy. Come on, come on, come on. We love to talk with you, too. I talk to the Due Time crew all the time, but I don't talk to you. So please give me a call and let me hear your voice for a change. Let me know you're out there, okay? Well, if you don't really want to be heard, but you want to be heard and you want your word to be heard, 347-285-7777. 347-285-7777. Another easy number that you just can't forget, okay? So make sure that you get settled, because we've got a list. Yeah, I got a little list for you that you just might be interested in for those insomniacs. Yeah, I gave it away. But get that pen and paper ready. You know how we do with our list. Alrighty? So, I'm going to take a quick break while you get your healthy breakfast, while you call and text a friend and let them know that we're on, and I'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
We know the cause for some birth defects, but for most, we don't. That's because we think most birth defects are caused by a complex mix of factors. There are some factors that can increase the chance of having a baby with a birth defect. These are called risk factors and include smoking, drinking alcohol, or taking certain street drugs during pregnancy, having certain medical conditions such as obesity or uncontrolled diabetes, taking certain medications such as some acne drugs, having someone in your family with a birth defect, being an older mother, typically over 34, and exposure to some chemicals and viruses during pregnancy. Having one or more of these factors doesn't necessarily mean your baby will have a birth defect. It is important to talk to your doctor about what you can do to improve your chances to have a healthy baby.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Yes, it is the end of the week, and God has been so gracious to us. Yeah, I can still sound like this by Friday. Yeah. Listen, I just want to really tell you, man, looks are deceiving. Thus our list morning. So welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And get them pens and papers out. You know, we got to talk fast today because, you know, when our men get on, people want to hear them. They don't want to hear me anymore. I get kicked to the curb, kicked to the side. So I want to make sure that I have all, because we can't carry this into Monday. Yeah, no, we don't know what's going to happen on, you know, over the weekend. And what we're going to have to talk about on Monday to shake that Monday morning blues. So we can't bring Friday's news into Monday. Nah, because we might be bringing in the blues. So I got a list for you. Like I said, for those insomniacs, you know, those of us who just seem to go to bed, can't seem to sleep. And then when you do sleep, you wake up and you're still tired. Man, that is the story of my life. Yes. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you the real deal. You know, what you hear over here, all this vibrancy and, you know, stuff, man, I'm tired a lot of the mornings. And, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about the sleep apnea the other day because that's one of the symptoms of sleep apnea they talk about. They say, you know, if you go to sleep, and it seems like no matter how much you sleep, you're still tired in the morning, that could be a sign of sleep apnea. Okay, so, you know, we talked about it the other day with the 6-year-old little girl, Kaya, and which was yesterday. And I've been mulling over this list has come across my lap quite a few times, in all honesty, over the past few months. But there have been some other lists that have superseded this. But I came across it as an additional story this morning. And I was like, yo, you know, we just got finished talking about this yesterday. So let me give our people this list. So these are the foods that are good to help you go to bed and fall asleep faster and wake up feeling better. Now listen, here's the deal. We've got to try these things in order to test it out and find out whether it's true or false. Okay, so how many people are going to help me find out? Okay, Well, I see your hands. I see your hands. All right. All right. So, come on. Now, I only saw a couple of things because I told you I don't look at the list, of, you know, beforehand. Almonds and walnuts. They're those nuts again. We should already have almonds and walnuts in our arsenal. Okay? They say raw almonds and walnuts not only make a good little snack if you're still hungry after dinner, but they boost melatonin, which helps to regulate the rhythm and support that, you know, regular sleep habits, okay? So almonds and walnuts, okay? That's number one. Whole grains. They say whole grain carbs are another melatonin-boosting category of food, and it provides adequate fiber to help support your colon health. Ah, we've got these whole grains on this list also. This is not a newbie. This is something that we should already have on our list. Okay. And it says it'll keep your blood sugar stable so you don't go to bed hungry. And one of the things that you can, wow, okay, you can eat is a slice or two of cheese on flaxseed or whole grain rice crackers. Okay? So that's cheese on flaxseed or whole grain rice crackers. Now, this sounds like a Trader Joe's type of item, because I don't know where in the world you get some rice toast. Okay, so there goes that on the list. I don't know how much I'm going to be eating that one, because have you been to Trader Joe's? Oh, my goodness. The line is around the corner up the block into the next town. Oh, I don't care what Trader Joe's you go to. Yes, so I don't know about the rice toast, but that's on the list. Okay, whole grains, and they said two slices of cheese on flaxseed or whole grain rice crackers. Okay, you got to write that down. You got to write that down because that's one of the specific recipes they're giving. Okay? Mushrooms. Mushrooms. Okay, another melatonin product. Okay, and they say that it helps to calm you. All right? So, get that mushroom in your system. All right? All right, here's the next one. Egg yolks and salmon. It's funny because Pastor KL asked me the other day, did I like salmon? And he said, salmon in the air fryer is good. And unfortunately, our egg fryer, oh my goodness, my brain is on like zero. Our air fryer, not egg fryer, air fryer went bye-bye quite a few months ago. And I've been toggling whether I wanted to buy a new one because it definitely helps us on a Sabbath day. Yeah, where we, you know, we're not cooking. And you can't run that fire in that oven. And we don't pull down the warmers because it's just us. And it definitely helps us to warm stuff up. But it's a space user, and we're trying to get rid of the stuff that uses space. So the point of me talking about this is he was saying that the salmon is really good in the air fryer. So, I'm suggesting you try it. He didn't give me a recipe per se, but use your own, you know, recipe for salmon in the air fryer if you have one. All righty. And they say that for your last meal, incorporate egg yolks and salmon before you go to bed. It contains vitamin D. Remember a couple of weeks ago we did that vitamin D list. And it will promote better sleep quality over time. Okay? And they're showing a picture of the individually packed packet of salmon. You know, the sauce packet? They have like a tuna fish and stuff like that. Yeah. So you'll have to buy the big can and break that open. You can just buy the little packet, and it looks like 2.5 ounces of salmon. Okay? And salmon and eggs have been on list before, so it's happening. Oh, here we go. Beans, legumes, and other lean proteins. That's the fifth thing on the list. Beans, legumes, and other lean proteins, okay? They're saying that those items are great sources of protein, beans and legumes, nuts and seeds. It helps to stabilize your blood sugar. And they say get some Greek yogurt, sprinkle it with a little cinnamon and berries. And that's a good dose of protein before you go to bed. Not a whole lot of beans, too, because beans are like, I don't know about you all, but I can't, like, put something heavy on my stomach and then go to sleep. So don't get, you know, don't eat the beans in a high, you know, high content, a lot of it, because then you ain't going to be able to go to sleep. Okay? So make sure you get those beans and, you know, they say Greek yogurt is good. Nuts and seeds, that stuff will help you sleep better. Okay? So, you know, beans would be good. You know, I make, so I got to share this with you. This bean salad, and it's like chickpeas, black-eyed peas, red kidney beans, and onions, peppers. Sometimes I put a little broccoli in there. Oh, don't forget your beets. And if you make that, like, bean salad, and sometimes I'll put like a few green beans in there if I don't use the broccoli. Okay, so let me give it to you again, because we're talking about this is what you want to eat before you go to bed, and they're mentioning getting the beans and the legumes in there. All right, so again, you're talking, you can use chickpeas, what do you call it, I think? Chickpeas, red kidney beans, black-eyed peas, broccoli, beets, and or cut green beans, cut string beans. And put some seasoning, onions and peppers in that bad boy, and take Italian dressing and, you know, mix it up. It is so good, and it is light. You can eat it cold. You can eat it warm. But you can eat a little bit of that, and that is a nice amount to put on your stomach before you go to sleep. Okay? It'll help you sleep better. And listen, remember, beans are on absolutely every list. We don't have one list where beans are, you know, they're not on. So you're definitely holding it down when you're eating the beans. Veggies! They say eat those veggies to get a good night's sleep. They say it's great for your colon health, helps stabilize your blood sugar levels, and they say make sure you pack in those leafy greens, all right? Also, get those carrots, get that celery, that broccoli, that cauliflower, and they say smear it with almond butter, hummus, or tahini for added protein. Okay, so get that, those raw veggies, the leafy greens, and now you go get those carrots, the celery, the broccoli, and the cauliflower, and put almond butter, hummus, tahini on it for the added protein. Okay? All righty. So those are the items. Not only are they supposed to help you sleep better, but you're supposed to wake up feeling better. Okay? And remember, don't eat after a certain time. You pick the time, especially if you want to lose weight. Trust me when I tell you, two things that are key components in helping you to lose weight that people don't know and underestimate, the two things, listen, trust me, it's worked, and it didn't work in my 20s, worked in my older years. Going to bed, go to bed. They say rest, and it works. When I went to bed by 9 o'clock, and these days and times, that's happening a whole lot more often because my body is shutting down, so I get to bed by, you know, a certain time. But if you go to bed by 9 o'clock and you don't eat after 7 or 8 o'clock, you watch and you eat following all of the lists that we've had, watch those pounds fall off. I promise you. Promise you, come on. That's the way Pastor Steph gives that biblical advice. I'm telling you about the other stuff. I know a little bit something. Alrighty? Okay. Well, before we bring the men on, I've got a dad news liner. Okay? It says, Dad faces backlash after making insane decision with his daughter's finances. All right? So here's your dad's story for today. Now, check this out. This is really interesting. This gentleman says that his son was born in the year 2000, and shortly afterwards, he opened up an investment account with intentions of handing his son, after he graduated, a nice whopping amount of money to give him a nice head start in life. So to start it off, he put in $10,000. That was the initial deposit, all right? And then he started adding $100 a month. So when he was ready, it was at $60,000, okay? Now, the daughter was born 2 years later, and he started the account for her also. But here's what happened with the daughter's situation. The wife somehow got wind of this, and she said that it was a silly thing to do. And, oh, anybody can invest. You know, you should be able to do something different. And she wanted to take control over it. So he said he was reluctant, but he ended up giving her total control. Okay. At the end of the daughter's journey, it was only $16,000. Now, come on, women. Why you got to do us like that? Come on. Come on. Why you got to do us like that? So he said he told his son he was going to, you know, get this whole bunch of money. And the daughter was like, well, what about me? So he said to the daughter, well, ask your mama. Ask your mother. And when the wife showed the daughter the money, she had a meltdown. And because, see, she's looking at, well, why he got 60 and I only got 16. And so this all went left, okay? And he was, the father was angry because had he continued to do what he was doing with the money, then it would have been another $60,000 possibly. It surely wouldn't have been in the teens. Okay, so here's what the wife suggested. See, she suggested that they merge the money and split it in half and give some to everybody. And he was like, oh, absolutely not. We are not doing that. Okay, so it was a really big upset in the house. And this is crazy. So he put it out there and, you know, to get some advice. And the people smashed him because they said, where were you for the 17 years this was all going down? Why didn't you monitor and watch, you know, the money? And some said, well, you know what, you knew the money was not accumulating, you know, as with the son, and you didn't do your son like that, so why would you do your daughter like that? And others said, yeah, you watched that go down in smoke and or up in smoke, and you did not do a thing about it. So come on, due time listeners. What you thinking out there? Did he do the right thing? He put the money in the mother's hands, and clearly he was watching it, and he didn't say a word. Because for him, he was trying to prove a point that, you know what, you wanted to do it, so guess what? Do it. But it ain't going to look like this. And, you know, people are saying that that's not right. When he saw that it wasn't going down the same, then he should have spoken up. So come on, Shantish, put that out there. Now, you always tell me that, you know, I'm not a, you know, we're not popping like that where we can get, you know, a survey immediately. So I'm okay. I can take that on Monday, Gospis. You know, find out. Find a way to put that out there on your little survey area. But for those of you who are listening, come on, I got a whole board of people who are listening here via the phone line. So text 347-285-7777. We're going to take our own survey here today. Come on, listeners, those of you who are on via internet, 347-285-7777. Did he do the right thing? Shanti should be getting all kinds of responses now to figure out or to find out what you think, you know, should have happened. Was he fair? Was he fair? You know, he was going to look out for his son, you know, but when it came to the daughter, he, you know, he handled that thing right. But the mama, okay, so we're not talking about the mother because we know the mother jacked it up, okay? All right, we're not talking about whether she should have invested or not invested, but we're talking about the, because we know she messed up. Because especially when you get to the end and you're going to talk about, well, let's merge it and split it down the middle. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it. And I know it may not, you know, sound right, but I don't. I don't agree with it. You know, let mama put up the balance. Let her put up the difference. Let her put up the 42. Is that how much it is? Whatever. Let her figure out a way to put up the balance and match what the son had. But I want to hear from you whether the father should have stepped in, taken it back, so that his daughter could have gotten the same return as the son and not just look out for his boy. Alrighty, come on. She should be ringing my phone, letting me know that we got all kinds of responses. Okay? So, let us know. Alright? Come on now. Alrighty, so it's about that time that we talk to the men. So let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, everyone. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. I am well. I take it that you're not feeling yourself this morning. How are you?
I'm a little slow today. Slow but sure.
Alrighty. Grateful to hear your voice. Grateful that God has kept you. And although you may not be who you normally are, you're here with us. So thank you for hanging out with us this morning. All right. So come on. Give me, weigh in. Okay. what say you about the father, you know, with the daughter and the son? What do you say? We're not talking about mama. We know mama jacked up. But at the end, you could talk about mama, but I'm just letting you know, that's not the ultimate question. You know, what's your thought?
Well, my thought is a couple of things. One, I mean, I think that, you know, cutting it in half and making them share it, I think that's wrong. But I also want to know, did he really see it? You know, sometimes when we give our spouse or the other half something, we don't really go back because we entrust them with it. So maybe he didn't know she was tapping into the water. You know what I mean? I mean, if I ask my wife to do something, I'm going to just automatically know or guess that she did it until the lights went out. You know, if I should go pay the light bill, I'm not going to go back to see if the light bill is paid. Now, if the lights go out, then I know that's an indication that you didn't pay it. So I'm not sure whether he saw it decreasing. And if he saw it decreasing, then he should have taken it back. But again, sometimes in marriage, you know, when you entrust somebody with something, you don't go and follow up on them because that's supposed to be, you know, saying your husband or your wife, they're supposed to do the right thing.
Absolutely. So to answer your question, initially, no, he did not. You know, like you said, once he gave it to her, it was in her hands. After about 10 years, he started watching. There was a point where he did start watching, and that's why the people were smashing him, because they said, okay, when you didn't know, you know, okay, but when you found out, why didn't you take it back and make a move for your daughter's behalf? But what you did was sit back and almost like, you know, say, well, you know, I told you so type of thing. Why didn't you step in? So how do you answer now that you know that he did, not in the beginning, but after a while, he did see it.
Yeah, he should have definitely stepped out, got it back. Divorce papers should have been in order. But we should have all this money, and now, you know, 10 years later, it's gone. Yeah. I'd have been.
She didn't steal it.
First of all.
No, she didn't steal it. Okay, so let me make sure I tell the story. Okay, let me tell the story. Let me clear this up, because I don't want other people to think this either. This is, he remember now, when he first started with the son, he put $10,000 in, and then what he did was he deposited $100 a month, and it was in an investment account. So you're watching now, remember, because there's movement here. But you you're padding it yourself, because you're putting in $100 a month. So when he gave it, that's what he was doing with the daughters. And then the wife got mad and said, no, you should do more than invest it. You know, that's silly. You could do other things. So whatever she did with it, she didn't invest it and pad it the way he did. And that's why the daughter's account came up short. And the son had much more money, because even though it was in an investment account where it would go up and down, he still was padding it with his own money, which is clearly what she didn't do.
So she didn't invest
anything.
She didn't
steal
anything. Let it say that.
Right. So she didn't do what he did with it to make it $60,000, or to at least let it grow to that much money.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'd have had to take it back. I'd definitely had to take it. I mean, we still got a divorce, but I'd have had to take it back.
Alrighty. Because I was trying to figure out what he was talking about. The daughter was supposed to divorce him after he didn't come up with her 60,000. You know?
Right.
Can you imagine what she's listening to? You know, sitting there bragging about, you know, what the son is going to come up with. And she's sitting at the table talking about, well, where's mine? And he said, well, see your mama.
Right.
Talk to you. I'm sorry. So you can't do stuff like that. You can't do stuff like that. So thank you, Pastor KL, for weighing in. And we're going to burn them divorce papers. And we're going to put you on the right track with the Lord. All right. Let's talk to Brother Al this morning. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chickity, chop, 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 chop. Of the morning. Oh, yeah.
You got the extra energy that Pastor KL does not have, clearly.
Yeah, I had to take a slack from my brother.
All righty. Come on, Brother Al. How are we weighing in this morning on the dad and what the dad, you know, did he slack up? You know, did he do the right thing? What?
Before we say that, can I say one thing about the list that you put up about the food real quickly?
Brother Al, why you can't?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. What you got?
Just one quick thing. I just also wanted to let the listeners know the list that you, because you know I'm into this stuff, so the list that you gave was very well, also with cherries and avocado and all that stuff added to that list. But one thing people have to remember,
okay,
even though this stuff is healthy, do not eat it too close to bedtime, because if you eat it too close to bedtime, what happens is the acid, it builds up the acid in your stomach, and you're not going to have a good night.
Okay.
So it's because when you go to sleep at night, that's when your body do the most digesting, because you're laying at a calm pace, you're breathing at a calm pace, so that's when your body really do the most digesting. So all that stuff is good, but eat it way before bedtime, because it'll build up that acid and you won't have a good night.
All right. Well, thank you, Brother Al. We appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I'm on that stuff. That's
thank
how I get
so
down. Okay.
All
now
right.
Back to the situation at hand. Number one, I'm sitting here listening. I'm mad about this. Number one, he should have manned up and said, listen, this is what I'm doing. You step on out of here because you don't know what you're doing. Now, if you know what you're doing and you got the same objective that I'm doing, then okay, fine. But you just said, oh, Vestman ain't did this. Hey, listen, I'm doing this. You need to back off and let me handle this. Now, the father, that's where he wrong from the jump, from even letting her do it when she didn't know what she was doing. Now you're talking about, let's split the money. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I would tell my daughter, listen, baby, you know, mama didn't know what she was doing. I tried to tell you, but what we're going to do, that's his money. So what we're going to do now, we're going to start over and start building with yours. And this time, mama going to go sit down somewhere. But he should have manned up from the beginning and was like, listen, no, that's not what you're doing. You don't know anything about investment. This is what I do. Go sit down. We're not doing that. We're going to do it this way. I'm the one putting this $100 a Monday. This is what it is. You go over there and just watch. But he didn't man up.
Okay.
Put your foot down, man.
Okay. Come on, Brother Al. Come on, people.
Come on, people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Brother Al, for weighing in on that, survey of the morning. So, let's say good morning to Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Hi. Hi.
How are you today?
I am doing fine. Thank you. And you?
That's good. I'm well, thank you. I am well, thank you. So, what's going on in your thought process regarding this whole dilemma with how Dad handled, you know, this investment for the children, his daughter in particular?
All right. He definitely didn't do the right thing. And normally when you play something, I hope I'm getting the story right, because I was kind of in and out of sleep. But you know what? We go take a crack at it. You know what I'm saying? normally when you play something in somebody's hands, you know whether or not, you know their mindset most of the time. You know whether they go, especially if it's a spouse, you know whether they think like a consumer or investor. If they're going to flip this money, if they're going to make it, you know, earn interest, usually there's some warning sign somewhere in it. You know pretty much what they're capable of doing and what they're not. So for him to place it in her hands thinking she was going to, you know, add on to it or whatever, and she didn't, I mean, I think you knew what was going to happen before it even happened. You know, some people, they'll let you know if they're a consumer or an investor off the bat.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much for weighing in. I happen to agree. You know, my thing is, listen, you started this thing here. There was a reason why you didn't go to her in the first place to say, well, let's do this. You went and did the sons. You didn't ask anything. You didn't say anything. And like you said, you know, we pretty much know what the other one is capable of. And when you got the, you know, I agree with Brother Al. When she said she didn't agree, you know what? If you don't agree with what I'm doing, it's okay. Go find something that you do agree with and handle yours. You know, and make sure you do it for the both of them, because I've already done it for the son. Now you start doing it, you know, for the son and the daughter, because I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let you come and interfere with, you know, with what I'm doing. So I agree with you, men. I agree with you, men, 100%. You know, I'm fair. If she wrong, she wrong. I don't pick sides. I don't pick sides. So thank you, Jen, for weighing in. You know, I always end up finding some story that has to do with what we're talking about. And you know, that's just life, 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 life. So, you know, this week we've been talking about that parent and child thing, and, you know, just got me to thinking last night. I'm like, okay, we got some dads in the house that we talked to on Friday. And what should we talk about today regarding parent and dad? You know, parent and dad, dad and child. And I did a little looking around, and I thought of the dynamic between father and son, an older son and an adult son. And, you know, some of that conversation that they need to have. So I broke it down in two parts, one for this week, one for next week, God spares. So today we're going to talk about the questions a son really needs to ask his father. And then, you know, I got to go with what the quote-unquote experts say that should happen. And they're saying that at a time, you know, in a son's life, once he becomes an adult, you know, he should ask his dad certain questions. And I want to know, when I ask this question, you know, do you agree, gentlemen, that that's something that, you know, they should ask? And how you would answer. So here's what I think would be a good thing. You know, we're answering because we don't know who's going to come by these broadcasts. And, you know, if they didn't have a dad or they don't have a dad, at least they would hear, you know, some dadly answers. Okay? All right. Ready, gentlemen?
Ready. Ready.
Everybody. All right, thank you.
Everybody. Oh, yeah, let's get it going.
All righty. They're saying that one question that a son really needs to ask his father is, what was the worst day of your life and why? Is that a good question for an adult son to ask his father, Kale?
I don't think so. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's going through something, you know, and wants to know, is this really bad? Should I really be, you know, overthinking this process? You know, maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. Let me, you know, because we always say that, you know, someone else has it worse off than you. So maybe he's going through something at the moment. And want to talk to another man to see, hey, you know, should I be just shaking the dust off of this thing? Is it really as bad as I think? Hey, Dad, you know, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you? You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay, so what's the worst thing that has ever happened to you? And why was it the worst thing that ever happened to you?
Well, I don't know that it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. But the worst feeling I had is when I found out that my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter, who I didn't know I had a daughter, my 12-year-old daughter was in the police station because her mama went to jail. And now they're calling me talking about I need to come get my daughter who I didn't know that I had. So, yeah, in my mind, I'm terrified because all I could think about it was a 12-year-old, you know, who's in the jail system. Well, not in the jail system, but at the jail, waiting for a man that she don't know. So, yeah, that's one of the worst feelings that I had.
Wow. Okay. Brother Al, do you think that's a question that, you know, an adult son should ask his dad?
Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I mean, like Pastor Kale said, you know, he may be going through something. And, you know, I take it as you coming to ask me because you respect me. You value my opinion and want to know how I handle it. And it may give you some clue to you on how to handle a situation that he may be going through.
Okay. So what was the worst day of your life and why?
Wow, there was a few I can tie it into. I'm going to just put one out there. The worst day of my life was burying my son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my next to oldest son, he got killed in a car accident. And the worst day of my life was he lived down south, was going to the accident site. You know, everybody was telling me I shouldn't go, but I just needed to see everything. I went to the accident site. I went to the place where his car was, and I went to those places first before I seen him. And that was the worst day of my life.
Okay. Minister AJ, is that a question that you feel an adult son should ask his dad?
I'm on the fence about this one because, you know, if you know, depending on the experience, it can you can help the kid or help your child, because you know you might have a story where you overcame, you know, even though it was a bad situation, you overcame. But what if you didn't overcome it? Then that's a bad situation, you know. The worst day I ever had could be when I met your mother. I don't know. So you gotta be careful, you know. Just being transparent. Yeah.
What did you say? I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, good. No, I'm joking. I said the worst day ever could have been an experience between the kid's mother and I. So it may not be something that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you may not always want to. That's why I said it could be a good or a bad situation, depending on what it is, you know, if, you know. You know, stuff like Pastor KL, what they said, you know, they overcame something. But if it's a situation between the mother and I, or maybe a situation that was never resolved, it could be bad. So I'm on the fence about that one. It could be good or bad, you know.
Okay. So what was the worst day of your life and why?
The worst day of my life? The worst day of my life. I mean, I think the worst day, oh Jesus, this is crazy. I would say finding out that my mother passed away probably was the worst day of my life, because it was the day before the first day of school of my senior year in junior high school. So it was tough, you know. You know, here it is, we're supposed to go to school the next day, and, you know, I'm supposed to graduate, and, you know, now I'm getting ready to step into another milestone, and to know that I'm never going to have my mother ever again going into different milestones, it was tough. It was definitely tough.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Now here's one that, you know, I have my own feeling about, but they say that, you know, a son should, and this is, we're talking about adult sons, should ask his dad, and, you know, you're men, so, you know, give me your thought. They say he should ask you if he could pick one meal to make for you, what would it be? Brother Al, why would that be important to ask?
Well, I think it's a good thing. You know, he wants to do something for you. You know, that's why I said we have to be careful in what we do now. We'll sit back and tell our children, oh, you can talk to me about anything. You can come to me about anything. Then when they come to you, regardless of the age, you shut them down. So me personally, I think it's a good thing. Like, okay, you want to make something for me? Cool, cool. Let me tell you what I want. And, you know, and break it down to them on what I want to eat. You know, I don't see nothing wrong with that at all.
Okay. So what would that meal be today?
That meal today, but see, again, now I got to know how he cooked. Now, if he don't cook all that well, son, just make me a hamburger and some french fries. Throw some cheese on that. No, you know, so yeah, you got to know his cooking. Can he get down in the kitchen or can he? Now, if he can't get down, make me a hamburger and some fries. I'm good with that. Now, if he can get down in the kitchen, I'm putting a full meal. Okay, you know what? One of my favorite. I love oxtails. Yeah, make me some oxtails and make some rice for me. That's if he can get down. So it'd be one of those two, depending on his skill level in the kitchen.
Okay. Now listen to me. All three of you have adult sons. So I need you to put yourself in that place. So oxtails and rice is what Brother Al is asking for today. So now you done got my stomach growling at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm mad because now I want some oxtails and rice. Oh, goodness gracious. Thank you, Brother Al. Thank you, Brother Al.
Yes.
Minister AJ. Is, you know, they say that he should ask you, you know, if he could cook one meal for you, what would it be? What do you think would be the value in asking you that, if there would be something valuable about it?
I mean, if it's something valuable about it, I'll say it this way. It's an exchange. You know, you took care of your son. And now he wants to now do something for you, to look out for you, to take care of you. Then that would be the value in it for me, you know.
Okay.
If not, I need to know that you're not trying to get the family inheritance quicker. You know, I got to make sure that you ain't trying to take me up out of here. Because, you know, a lot of sons, I don't know how many sons are in the kitchen cooking. So... you know, and then thinking about my son when he was like, oh, yeah, Dad, I'm learning some things, you know. But I couldn't tell if he cooked it or not. You know, so he was sending me pictures when he was in college. I was like, I don't know. Because now that you're home, you ain't cooking none of that. So, you know, people say, you bought the groceries, but you ain't cooked that. So, yeah. I'm all right. You want to impress me, buy me my favorite meal. Take me out to eat where we know, all right, you know. We can see what's going on in the kitchen. We know, we good. Just buy me something to eat, son.
So you wouldn't have him make you any, despite the fact that he's asked you that, you know, to make you something, you wouldn't let him cook you anything?
I mean, no, my son, no. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood. Because, all three of you men have adult sons. So this is interesting to hear. I don't want you to talk about what another man, because you got your own adult son. So that's interesting to hear that you said, no, you take me out to eat.
Yeah, my thing is, if you're going to cook, just go ahead and cook it. Don't ask me. Just go ahead and cook it. You know, I mean, you've been around me this long. You got to know what I like. You know what I mean? So
okay,
go ahead and
okay.
cook it. Let me see you eat it first. You know what I mean?
You know.
I want you to stir the pot up, and, you know, you pick anything from that pot. Now, you know what I mean? So go ahead. Not that I think my son would do that, but I'm just saying, you got to use your head nowadays, man. These kids, new millennials.
Okay.
New millennials.
Okay. Pastor KL. You know, do you think that's a question that your son should ask? And if so, how would you answer it, regardless whether you agreed with it or not?
Yeah, I don't really agree with that question. First of all, I'll have to answer his question with a question by letting him know that, you know, I have not put $100 a month, you know, to the side for you. I have not started out $10,000 for you. So
I'm not sure, you know, what's going on behind here. There is no insurance money. You know, I got to be able to preference all that stuff first to let you know before you start cooking. And then when you start asking me, you know, what kind of meal I want, you know, I got to get deep in God and tell him I'm on a fast. I'm fasting this week, you know. And if he says, well, you know, I'll cook it next week, well, I'm on a 90-day fast. I feel the Lord speaking to me, you know, because he don't need to cook for me nothing. So my son can't make cereal and you add the milk. So he can't cook nothing for me, you know. So, I mean,
wow.
Not that I think he's going to kill me on purpose, but because he can't cook, he's going to kill me on purpose. No, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. Now, Minister AJ, they say that a son should ask, what kind of music really moves you? Do you agree?
I mean, I disagree with that. Because I think that's something, if you grew up in the house, you should know. Like, we couldn't listen to, as my father would say, the boogaloo music or whatever he used to call it, you know, the devil's music. So we knew, you know, he liked gospel because that's what he played. You know, you got in the car, it was, I guess, WWR, I think that's what it was. Now, you know, it's 1190. You know, you. I think if you've been around your father long enough, because most parents either play music in the house or in the car, so you would kind of know, you know, if you took a long road trip, was it Slick Rick on the radio or was it so, you know, you'll know. Don't ask me.
Okay, but if he did, what would your answer be?
Gospel. Some gospel.
Okay. Okay. Pastor KL, they say that he should ask what kind of music really moves you. Do you agree?
I think, I don't agree. I mean, listen, Pastor KL, what music do you think I'm going to listen to? I'm just saying, you know, if Pastor KL come in the house and you playing, I'd be stroking. You know, I don't, that's not going to move me. You know, that's not going to work out. You know, so I mean, certain things is common sense. If you lived with this man long enough and his name is Pastor KL, you know, you already know what kind of music to play for me. Gospel.
Okay. Come on, Brother Al. You know, what do you think of that question, and how would you answer?
Well, I'm going to disagree with my brothers. I think it's an okay question. It goes back to what I said the first time. We tell our kids you can talk to us or ask us anything, and then when they ask us, we shoot them down. So, of course, you can ask me. You know, just because you're a reverend or you're a pastor don't mean you might not like jazz. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we at church, we love gospel. I love gospel music. But my son, he can ask me that. I love gospel music. I like everything about it. But I also like house music. I like the way they arrange the music together. I like the way the beats are put together because I've been in music all my life, even creating music and playing a couple of instruments. But I like house music as well. I just love the beat to it. So I don't see nothing wrong with him asking me that question. Now, because I listen to house music, that make me a bad guy, a sinner. That's up to a person's opinion, you know. But I like music. Now here's the thing. When I say that, right? Now I've seen where I've DJed weddings and stuff, and I've seen pastors get up and do the electric slide. It wasn't no cursing, no bad music. They got up and did the electric slide. So are they a bad person because they did the electric slide? So I don't see nothing wrong with asking that question.
You might have thought Kirk Franklin doing the electric slide.
What happened?
Pastor KL? He might have thought Kirk Franklin do the electric slide.
Well, remember,
that's
now
okay.
The question is, what kind of music really moves you? Remember, pay attention to the question. So, Pastor KL, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, this is It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Mm-hmm. What kind of music? What kind of music do you think? I hate you. What kind of music?
Somebody going down.
Do you think moves me?
What kind of music do I think moves you?
Yeah.
Love and happiness.
You see, you know the lyrics. You know the lyrics.
Brother Al, Pastor Steph, what type of music do you think moves Pastor Steph? I would say
some jazz music. I think you can vibe to a little jazz music.
Okay. Mr. AJ, since Pastor KL said we're going with Pastor, you know, and that should be the context clue, what music do you think moves? Remember the question, not what do you like best? You know, your favorite, what moves you is the question. Yes, that's, as parents, we need to listen to the question. Minister AJ, what do you think moves Pastor Steph?
I think R.K. Greatest Hits. You know, I think I can see you stepping in the name of love. Yeah, I mean, Robert, R. Kelly, there we go.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so at the end of the show, I'll tell you. Okay, so let's do this. We got two things to answer at the close of the show. We have two things to answer. Shantice has to still give me a semblance of, you know, weigh in from our question earlier. Do you think did you think the father was right in that investment for the daughter and the son? And text 347-285-7777 as to what music you think moves Pastor Steph. And I'm asking that because Pastor KL said his son should just figure it out, you know, by hearing Pastor. And I want to know if that's actually accurate, okay? All righty. So thank you, gentlemen, for weighing in on that one. I'll let you know later, you know, if it's love and happiness behind door A, B, behind door B if it's jazz, or behind door C if it's RK's greatest hits, Stepping in the Name of Love. Okay. All right. They say your son should ask you, what is your favorite scripture and why? Pastor KL, do you think that's something that your adult son should be asking you?
Yeah, I'd be excited if he talk about anything in the Bible. I'd be excited if my son comes and want to talk about Barabbas. I'd be excited.
Oh, my goodness. So what's your favorite verse and why?
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If you plant yourself in God, everything's going to work out.
Okay. Thank you so much. I was going to say, please tell us where that's taken from. I mean, I know, but please tell us where that's taken from. Psalm 1. Okay. Brother Al, they say that, you know, your adult son should ask, what's your favorite Bible verse? And why? Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, he could talk to me about anything. So I appreciate him coming in and even asking me that because most kids ain't going to ask you that. So I definitely appreciate him coming to ask me that.
Okay. And what would your answer be?
Mine should be Romans 8:28. 8:28. You know, all things work through the good for the good of the Lord. That would be mine.
Okay.
You go. Romans 8:28.
All right. Thank you, Brother Al. Thank you. All righty. Mr. AJ, he's asking, what's your favorite verse? Are you in agreement with that one?
I'm definitely in agreement with that one. You know, I love the word. I love the and the word of God is it's seed, which denotes, you know, you get the seed and you plant it, it, you know, you can grow. So I see the word of God as a tool to help you grow. So absolutely, definitely can ask me that one. Keep the cooking.
Okay.
Ask me about the Bible.
Okay, so what's that favorite verse?
Mine's in Psalm 67. It says, you know, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And when you praise the Lord, earth shall yield her increase. And that's become one of my favorite verses because I feel like you can create, you know, with your praise, you know.
Okay. All righty. They say that he should ask, what things does your sister or brother do that frustrates you, and why? Why would that be important to ask, Brother Al?
Yeah, I think that's very important to ask because he may got a little brother that he going through something with. I'm like, well, Dad, what did your brother do that upset you and just irritates you? And I would answer that. I would tell him too. I would do it with my brother. Oh, he got on my nerve. He was just a pet. I couldn't do anything without him bothering me. I had no privacy. He just always did something to make me mad. I can go in the room, be working on some music, got my door closed. He, as soon as I start recording, he knocking on the door and running loud. So I wanted to strangle him. I swear I did. My brother was a pet. You don't know what my brother put me through. So I would gladly, you know, answer that for him. I think that's a good question.
Okay. Minister AJ, what things does your brother or sister do that frustrate you? What do you think of that question?
I think it's a good question. Like Brother Al said, you know, because they may have a little smaller sibling and, you know, they may want to know, you know, and also they may want to know, how did you handle it? You know, how did you handle the sibling, whatever? I don't want to say rivalry, but, you know, how did you handle things with your sibling? You know, what made you close? What made you distant? And, you know, they may want to compare, you know, am I being petty with what I'm going through with my own younger siblings versus to what daddy and mommy? And, you know, the times are different, too. So they may want to know, like, how did you survive it in your time, or what was it, or what was the issue? It may help them survive better with their siblings. So, yeah, absolutely. What would my answer be? Well, my answer would be overcoming the little man complex. You know, I had my older siblings made me fight, and, you know, we would get down and dirty, you know. If I had to throw something, I'm throwing it, but I was going to protect myself. So, you know, at any cost, you go get a shoe at your head, I'll pick up a bottle, I'm picking up something. So, you know, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. That little man complex.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor KL, what do you think about that question they say your son should be asking?
I think it's a pretty good question. I think it becomes informative. I think on the side or on the slide behind closed doors, he's wondering how I didn't kill my brothers and sisters. You know, so he's trying to hold that information so he don't kill his brothers and sisters. You know, I mean, because we have all had, and I got to be honest with you, my brothers and sisters, we really didn't have any arguments, any fights, and any stuff like that. We were like the Jackson 5 because we all sang or we all danced and we had to be together all the time. So, I mean, it wasn't really no animosity with each other. Now, I will tell you that my frustration, if you ask me now in my older age and my siblings in my old age, my frustration, for most of you know, I have a twin brother. And my twin brother is a sugarfoot, for lack of a better term. And that frustrates me because, you know, he goes to all these churches and he sings his behinds out and he lays them out. But you live in a reckless life. So that frustrates me. I tell all my business out here.
Well, the interesting part is you answered the question accurately, because the question is, what frustrates you about your brother or sister? Not what did frustrate you about your brother or sister. So that's the interesting part. And again, I'm watching how these answers are coming across. I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. So it's interesting that you did answer like that. So thank you again for your candidness. Okay.
Thank
Minister
you.
AJ, they say that your son needs to ask, why did that movie disturb you? Or what movie disturbed you and why? Let me put it that way, because you need to answer this question. So what movie disturbed you and why did it disturb you? Why do you think a son should ask or don't? Or he shouldn't ask.
I don't necessarily agree with him asking that, because I don't see this. I really honestly don't see the point. You know, it's a movie. And, and it's a script. You know, it's not like, you get what I'm saying, it's real life. It's a script. It's something that somebody wrote. So I don't see the importance of why, you know, because I may have been moved in an emotional way, but I may not want to tell you why. It could be something that happened to me by childhood that may be emotional about this movie. I may not want to tell you the experience. So I don't see that. Know that.
Why? Okay, that's two different things, though. That's two different things. Because listen to what you said. You said, I don't think he should ask me because it's a script. And then you said, he shouldn't ask me because I may not want to tell you. That's two different things. So I just wanted to put that out there. So
can I
what was the last movie you saw? Huh?
The last movie I saw? Oh, Jesus.
That disturbed you, and why?
That disturbed me?
Yes, that's the question.
I don't watch things that would disturb me. I'm just being honest. Maybe it was that Halloween that wasn't a Halloween, because the Peanut Gallery got me to go see it, and it wasn't. I'm thinking it was going to be scary, and it wasn't. So it was a little, I don't know if that's disturbing, but I watch comedy and action, so I don't know what's disturbing, you know, really disturbing about that. I mean, I really don't watch anything that I think it's going to disturb me.
No, I'm sure we don't go and watch a movie that we think is going to disturb us, Minister AJ. But it happens. Thank you. Oh, go back to sleep. Pastor KL, come on now. They say that adult sons should ask, you know, why did that movie disturb you? Do you think that there's some relevance that he should ask or he shouldn't ask?
Well, being that I'm his dad, yeah, he might ask that, because most people who know me, I see things that no one else sees. You know, I'm very analytical. I see from that third eye. So, yeah, maybe he's trying to figure out, you know, how I see this, how I perceive this, and, you know, how did I get that angle from that situation? Because even in my daily life, you know, if you go with me to church, I can tell you everything that happened in church, what everybody was doing in church on the last row. I'm just that analytical. So, yeah, you know, some folks might want to know how does he do that. So yeah, I don't have a problem with that question. And the last movie that disturbed me, well, didn't disturb me, but kind of made me think and frustrate me, was Coming to America 2, because I couldn't for the life of me, you know, think of why they would say that Eddie Murphy now had a son. You would most likely think that it was Semi, Arsenio Hall, but they turned the whole script to make it Eddie Murphy. Yeah, that kind of frustrated me.
Okay. Thank you. Brother Al, excuse me. Well, we already know you're going to say, yes, there's the relevance to the question. But why?
I'm glad you know me. I'm glad you know me. Because I think it should be come and and ask you just to hear your perspective. You know, I have to say, you know, some people like that, well, don't ask me about that or this and that, you know, but I think it is a good thing that he come and ask you. And it's crazy because I just recently had that happen. And all right, go ahead. I just recently had that happen because the last movie that I saw that disturbed me was American Skin. And it's on Netflix and all type of little stuff. And it's a deep movie. And it's what we're going through now as a young black man. And his son was stopped by the cops. And it's what's going on now. And I don't want to get to the story just in case somebody want to see it, but it's called American Skin. And that movie disturbed me because it's actually that's what's going on. And I had talked to a couple of my kids about it, and they asked me that same question. Well, Coach, why did that disturb you? Why this and that? And I broke it down to them why. Because this is what we're going through today, and it seems to never end. You know, and they got a good perspective on that. Like, oh, okay, I see what's happening. Because some of the kids haven't been stopped by cops yet, so they don't understand. Well, I have been racially profiled. I've been stopped by the cops. I've been harassed by the cops. So, you know, it just brought back that. I'm like, wow. And to be able to explain it to the kids when they asked me, and they was like, oh, wow, yo, that's deep. So I don't see nothing wrong with that question.
We know that already, Brother Al. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I just want to make sure you know
it
again, okay?
Thank you, Brother Al. Thank you, Brother Al. All righty. Okay, so who am I starting with now? Pastor KL. They say that you should ask. What's the best thing about being a part of our family? Is that an important question for him to ask, and how would you answer?
It's an okay question. I don't know that it's important, but I mean, let's go back to what I always say. Your feelings are valid, so your questions are valid. If that's something that you need to know for you, then it's important to you. You know, so that's fine. I think the best part of my family is me. You know, I bring the best.
You know
best
what?
We're
not gonna continue with this. We're not gonna continue with this. We have to. I have to interrupt.
Oh.
No.
I'm sorry.
Give me the second. Answer. Give me the second answer.
The second answer. The best part of the family is that, you know, in crisis, you know, we come together. You know, we're not going to leave you out there. You know, we love you. You know, we love hard. You know, and we love for real. We're not a fake family. You know, if we don't like you, we don't like you. You know, you will never have to guess about us. And you know, we just a real family. We come together. You know, in times of crisis, we come together just to laugh, just to play, and we're real people. And, you know, and that's the great part about being of a real family, when you can just be real with everybody that's around you.
Okay. Brother Al, is it a good reason? I mean, why is it a good question? What's the best thing about being a part of our family? And how would you answer?
I think it's a great question. You know, just him want to hear my perspective on what I think about the family, because he may be having some issues with the family and not knowing, you know, how to handle it or what to do. And I would tell him, you know, the best part of it is me sitting back and watching you and your siblings grow, taking the advice that you guys asked me or things that I showed you and putting it into play. And just watching the whole family, just watching everybody get together and take care of one another like a family should. So that would be my, you know, my answer to the question.
Okay. Minister AJ, are you awake over there now? All right. So he's asking, what's the best thing about being a part of our family? Is that a good question for him to ask? And how would you answer?
I think it's a good question because you need to know kind of, you know, what the family stands for. What is this family about? You know, what are our morals, what are our goals, whatever, you know. But for me, it's the love. My family is we have a very large family, but it's the love for me. I would normally say the talent, but I'm going to go with the love. You know, the love that our family shares, displays for one another is where is that? You know, family reunions or how we get together and we haven't seen each other for years and we catch up like we've never missed any time.
Okay. Brother Al, he's asking, what kind of things make you want to cry? We know that you appreciate the question.
Mm-hmm,
but why?
Yeah. That's why I'm going straight to the second part.
thank you.
You know, I would say, you know, watching people suffer, watching other people get hurt, you know, that touched me when I see people being done wrong or people getting attacked, you know. And for me, it's regardless of the color. Just as a human being God's people, and, you know, just watching people get attacked, watching people who are hungry on the street, you know, that touches me. So that would be my answer to it.
Okay. Thank you. Minister AJ, you know, he's asking, mm-hmm. what kind of things make you want to cry?
Kind of things that make me want to cry is when somebody makes you so angry and you can't do nothing about it. And when I say do nothing about it, for the sake of Christ, you want to act out, you want to go crazy, but you know it's not going to help the situation. So you get so angry, mm-hmm. and they think that they pissed you off, but I'm so angry and I want to cry because I might really want to not turn the other cheek and hit you or give you a good piece. But I know it's not going to help the situation.
Okay. Pastor KL.
Yeah.
Do I really have to read a question? After this is
No. Okay.
Time.
Well, this makes me want to cry when I'm forced to eat something my son cooked because he asked me what was my favorite meal. That makes me want to cry.
You know what? And that's how you're going to answer
really,
him?
I am really not a crier. And what's funny enough, I can watch a show or watch a movie and see an emotional scene, and I'll tear up faster than I will in real life. You know, because I'm an actor and stuff like that, I get involved in the scene. I'll tear up that way. But, you know, like Al said, the homeless man and this man and that man, I won't cry. I mean, I'll be sympathetic and help out, but I'm not going into tears. I don't even go into tears at funerals. I just don't do that.
Okay, so you answered the question, something that you look at,
yes,
opposed, you know,
right,
on TV. So, you know, that's you know, that's the answer. Okay. All right, thank you. Minister AJ, he's asking you, what skill do you wish you could be better at? What about that question?
I don't see anything wrong with that. Because, you know, as a father, I could have missed a mark in my life. You know, maybe he didn't take careers or whatever, or opportunities serious. So that may be a teaching moment where I can say, you know what? You know, my younger self, I should have did X, Y, and Z, yada, 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 or took more advantage of this particular opportunity, which would have led to a better skill, better job, more money. So I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay. And how would you answer?
Skill. Either I would have taken sports more serious when I felt like I had the opportunity to really do some stuff. I would go with sports, or maybe going into the military right out of high school, you know, to learn different trade skills and to take advantage of the military itself and all the benefits.
Okay, okay. All right. Pastor KL, he's asking, what skill do you wish you could be better at? Do you think it's
I think that's a relevant question? Yeah, I think that's a good candid question. I really do. I mean, I really think that's a great question. Now, my answer would be, I wish I could be better at the skills of patience. You know, sometimes I'm not the most patient person, and things can sometimes frustrate me quicker than others, because in my mind, I think you should already know this. Why do we have to keep on going through this? Why do I have to answer that question 2, 3, or 4 times? So, yeah, if I had better skills of patience, I think that can make me a better person.
Okay, okay. Brother Al?
Oh, yes. Well, I was listening to my brothers, and I was just sitting here trying to think, because a lot of stuff that I had, I've been working on it. I want to say I wish that I'd have, good morning, better skill level at managing my money better. Managing my money better. I'm getting even better at that, so I would say managing my money better.
Okay, okay, okay. Minister AJ, he's asking, can you describe what the perfect day would look like?
I can't say I necessarily, I don't know, the perfect day would be like, I see the significance in it, but maybe he wants to see my mindset, I guess, I don't know. I mean, but, yeah, I don't know.
And that answer would be?
That answer would be us waking up, the family going to church, us praising God beyond our circumstance, and God really blessing us, us spending the whole day together, nobody's arguing, we go out to eat, after church we go to the spa together. And we just enjoy our day from the beginning to the end.
Okay, okay, okay. Pastor KL, he's asking to describe what the perfect day would look like to you. How are you feeling about that question?
I guess it's a good question. I mean, yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. And I guess my answer would be, that one day, one Saturday, one Sunday, all my children would just call me for no reason to see how I'm doing. They would plan it, and then they would call me one behind the other, just for no reason. It's not my birthday. It's not Father's Day. They're just calling me just to say hi. That would be a perfect day for me.
Okay, okay. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Well, perfect day, the perfect day for me would be waking up in the morning. Good morning. Waking up in the morning and not hearing any bad stuff on the news. Not hearing somebody was robbed. Not hearing somebody was killed. Not hearing somebody got ran over by a car. Not hearing they're starving people. So just waking up and hearing good news, no bad news on the news channel.
Okay, okay.
So the perfect day is waking up in heaven.
Okay, that's
Pastor
Kel,
do I gotta come over there and squeeze you again? Do I gotta come squeeze you again, Pastor Kel, and let you get pain? Is that what we're doing?
All right, Pastor KL, we're talking. What character qualities do you especially appreciate in a friend? He's asking that.
The fact that I can go to them for anything, you know, we can talk together. We can definitely pray together. You know, we can talk about biblical stuff together. You know, those are the characteristics that I look for in a friend. You know, if we're like-minded, you know what I'm saying? I like those things. I really like those things.
Okay, okay. Brother Al, he's asking this question. How are you answering?
He said, well, what characteristics I like. I missed the ending part.
What character? the qualities do you especially appreciate in a friend?
Oh, I would tell him loyalty. A friend that's loyal to you. You know, you have some people, they're friends, and they're not loyal. So a friend who's loyal, if I got an issue, I could come and talk to you. I could be honest with you and say, hey, listen, I messed up. I did this and that. And you're not judging me, but you're helping me to get through the situation. Right? Giving me some advice to say, hey, listen, yeah, you messed up on that one, but you should have did this. And next time you know, if this happened, do this. So I would say loyalty with a friend.
Okay. And Minister AJ, is that a decent question?
That's a great question, because we measure so much by our friends. If somebody do something to you, you'd be like, how could you do that if you was my friend? So I'm saying it's a great question. For me, it's the level of comfortability with my friend. You know, can I talk to you about anything? Can you talk to me about anything? Like my other fellow co-laborers said, you know, the loyalty and stuff like that. So all that to me goes up under umbrella of comfortability. You know, can you hold my secrets? Can I hold your secrets? Do I feel comfortable asking you? You know, there's so many people that have so-called friends and they don't even feel comfortable asking for stuff like money, you know, for a word, for advice. So for me, comfortability. I got to be able to be comfortable with you.
Okay. Brother Al, he's asking, what do you wish I understood better about you?
Okay, what do I wish you understood better? My loyalty to the Lord. I would, because some kids, they don't understand, well, why are you praying? I would say, you know, understand more of me knowing about the Lord or building a relationship with the Lord.
Okay. Come on, Minister AJ. He's asking, you know, what do you wish I understood better about you? Do you think that that's, why would you think that's a good question?
I think it's a great question because sometimes they need to know I ain't sleeping. They need to know, sometimes kids have questions like that. And you need to know. You need to know how I feel, how I think, what's my thought pattern behind certain things. Because sometimes a kid can walk away confused if they don't know your thought pattern about certain things. You know, like my son said, you know, he said one time in an open forum, he said, my dad's vision is my dad's vision. Don't act. Just do it. Whatever he's asked you to do, just do it, because you're not going to understand it a lot of times until after you do it. So I think it's a great question.
Okay. And how would you answer him?
I would answer him. Almost forgot the question. I would answer him, my patience level of planning. I don't think a lot of times they understand, you know, my son sometimes would think I don't have a plan. It's not that I don't have a plan. It's just that you have to plan it more patiently, like as far as like getting a house or buying property. You know, they would say, all right, well, at this age to have it, or you should be doing this or that. When me, my plan may be to go into a house with a larger down payment, you know, with the mortgage saved up for 2 to 3 years, a different level than just going to get a house, to say you have a house, you know, being able to, you know what I mean? My planning level is different than a lot of people. So that's what I would say to them, you know, patience in your planning, you know.
Okay. And Pastor KL, do you think that's a good question for him to ask? You know, what do you wish I understood better about you, and how would you answer?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, and I guess my answer would be that I wish that you knew how much I love you. I wish that you knew that even when I get on you or I fuss at you, you know, it's only because I love you and I want the best from you. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't even focus on why our parents are just going off.
or why they're disagreeing with us. All we know is that they disagree with us. But I want you to know, even in my disagreeing with what you're doing, I still love you. And I'm disagreeing, and I'm telling you that I'm disagreeing because I want you to see it another way. I want you to channel yourself another way and know that at the end, no matter what you decide, I still love you.
Okay. Well, you need to stay up my sandbox because I saved that question for last, Pastor KL. So I'm going to start with you, Minister A. No, let me start with you, Brother Al. Let me start with you because, you know, you may have to go, so let's get you out the way. You know, your son is asking, do you know how much I love you? Why would that be a very good question or not? Well, we know you like all the questions. Why would that be a good question, and how would you answer?
Now, I want to make sure I'm getting the question right. He's telling me how much he loves me, or is it vice versa?
No, he's asking you, do you know how much I love you?
He's asking me. Like you said, I think that's a great question, and because it's something good to hear. No, son, I don't know how much you love me. Tell me. I want to hear this. So I think it's something that's good. You know, to make you feel good as well to hear how much your child's saying they love you. You know, so
okay.
I believe
okay.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing to hear. Yes.
All righty. Minister AJ.
It's a great thing to hear because sometimes, you know, the way a kid may act or maneuver, you may not even think they do love you. And sometimes we give our kids tough love. And in the tough love, we don't know. You know, we're a little, And then not only that, I need to hear that because I need to know also that you really know what love is, because love is based on so much that, you know, I want to hear your definition of what you think about me, because in that I may get, does he really even know the definition of love? So it's important.
Okay. And Pastor KL.
Yeah, I think that is actually the best question you could have asked all day today. And I say that because now we're talking about a grown son, which means that he's a grown man and you're a grown man. And man's mans, you know, sometimes don't even utter the words, I love you. You know, back in the days when I was growing up, I didn't hear my dad say that at all. So for a child to want to converse and have this conversation about love, it opens up two avenues. One to you, it forces you as the dad to listen to this thing and to respond to it correctly. And if you're one of those men who don't say I love you, it forces you to have to deal with your feelings, to have to deal with your emotions. So two men talking about love, I think that's great.
All righty. Gentlemen, thank you so much for helping us with this conversation between adult son and dad. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, same to you. I love my brothers.
I love my brothers.
Thank you.
Play your favorite R. Kelly track.
All right, we get ready to get that answer right now, Minister AJ. All righty. Before I go there, let me give the benediction. We're going to go with Romans 11:33-36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. All righty. So, we got a couple of surveys to take care of before we go. So let's talk to Shantese. Good morning, Shantese.
Good morning, Pastor Steph.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay, thank God. Thank you, I'm okay. So the first question of the morning, you know, we want to know what the listeners think in regards to, you know, whether dad should have stepped in, and did he do a bad thing by not doing so? Well, what does the survey say?
So we have 80% of the respondents to the survey said that he was wrong. He should have intervened and took over, and we have 20% that said, nope, it was all her fault.
Okay, okay, okay. Now, we have the question. You know, Pastor KL said that his son, upon hearing and knowing the name Pastor KL, that should have been the context clue as to, you know, what the music that moves him should have been. And I asked, what do you think my favorite, not favorite, what music moves me? So what did the survey say?
Okay, well, I actually got a few comments. So one.
Okay, go ahead.
Said,
I'll listen.
I'll say old school 70s and 80s, a little bit of hip hop, R&B, but I definitely know the electric slide, LOL.
And that's what somebody wrote about me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we got another one that says, another caller that says she likes old school. And then we have another listener, I keep saying call, I'm sorry, another listener who says, yes, step in the name of love for Pastor Steph.
All righty. Thank you so very much for the input, listeners. So I'll ask you, Shantice, as Pastor Steph, what do you think the music is that moves me?
The Hymns of Zion.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay.
No, with you, you're very diverse. So even with, I don't want to say in your Christian moments, like you have moments when you're Christian and moments when you're ratchet. But you love jazz. You even love gospel jazz. So jazz is your, I would say is your top. And then you love old school R&B. So I say jazz is the top one. And then you go into, like, the smooth R&B, almost like a, not really neo soul, but, like, old school R&B, like Anita Baker and, you know, I forgot the other people's names. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I just
well,
be
thank
knowing
you
the
so
soul,
much.
I don't be knowing the artist.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for weighing in, Shantice. And I'll let you know in 1 second if you are right. Thank you so much. All righty. Thank you so much, listeners. You know, we have a blessed day, Shantice. Thank you so much, listeners, for weighing in. You know, I always like the surveys. Well, before I give my answer to let you know whether you are right or not, and Shantice, whether she's right or not, you know, it's important. You know, I went today to the questions, you know, he needs to ask. And, you know, always go to my survey. Always go to my survey to go to whether, you know, what the people say, you know, what the quote-unquote experts say. And, you know, sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree. But one of the things that I do think is important and what really came out this week was the fact that we need to have that conversation. You know, we started off with the conversation that took place, the heated conversation that took place between Kirk Franklin and his son. And needless to say, you know, there's some tension and, you know, probably, you know, some animosity and some resentment and, you know, all kind of things that are going on. And one of the things that we're missing today is that dialogue between parent and adult child, you know, certain, you know, especially when we raise these adult children, we have expectation as to where we feel, you know, what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing, how they should act, how they should respond. You know, we have our own thought because we know how we raised you. And we heard yesterday from our millennials who said, you know, hey, we got our own feelings. Pastor Charlotte said that her kid said, hey, you know, we're grown now. We the kissing and the hugging, you know,
this is how we feel about it. And, you know, you had the other millennials who said, hey, you know, I'm busy. I'm busy. You always want this when I'm ready to walk out the door. So clearly there's something missing in those gaps. And, you know, we want to help to bridge those gaps. I think it's so important that we as Christian people, we as the people who are supposed to be of God, in God, about God, who love God, quote unquote, we're supposed to be the front runners. And one of the saddest things that I have seen, you know, in this Christian walk, and especially since my call as a pastor and, you know, looking around at my pastor, you know, the congregants, as well as fellow pastors, as well as, you know, just other Christian people, is we're not the front runners. We're following. We are behind. We are running a slow second to a whole lot of stuff, and it really saddens me because we're supposed to be the ones that step out in the front. We're supposed to be the ones that are showing this world what it's supposed to be like. We're supposed to show this world what it's supposed to look like. And it doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean that when we fall, we get up, we dust ourselves off with the help of God and His Son, and we move forward. And a lot of times we don't do that. We're wallowing, we're weeping, we're crying, we're over in the corner, we don't know how to talk to one another, women. Any question that your child asks you, especially an adult child, is vital. Because we heard yesterday that they ain't got time for us some of these moments. You know, we don't catch them at the right time. I'm telling you, for whoever said it came out a couple of times yesterday, a few times, yeah, I'm on my way out the door. That's the way I catch tomatoes all the time. Oh, come on, Ma, why are you asking me this now? I'm rushing. Oh, you know, everybody, they always wait till 5 minutes before they're supposed to have been gone to be gone. So therefore, God forbid you got a question or a comment or want to just say hello or, hey, you know, we're passing like two ships in the night. Well, how's everything going? Oh, no, because they waited till 5 minutes before the bewitched hour to do what they needed to do. They have no time for you because they've got plans. They have no time for you. So if an adult child wants to come to you and ask you a question, give God thanks. Because they've got time to actually talk. They have a desire to talk. Whether it's because they, you know, some the gentleman said, you know, because they really may want to know. You know, they have a definitive reason. You know, they want to, you know, pick to get the info, whatever it is. Let me tell you something. One of the things that Shawnee's always said to me, which was really weird, she said, well, I don't like to talk to you. If I want to know something, I'm going to go to my friends. Now, she said this, you know, quite a few years ago. But here's the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is this. They ain't coming to you for a whole lot of stuff. So when they want to come to you for anything, let's give God thanks. Because now we can give them some real educated answers, some wisdom and knowledge. And I said to her, I said, you know what? God, keep talking to your friends because they don't know no more than what you know. And that's what they opt for most times. So give God thanks that they've opted to come to you. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we, I know I didn't give the answer. Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I just want you to know that the music that moves me is jazz. Because it allows you, music, bare music, allows you to go wherever you need to go. Lyrics will take you somewhere, but music by itself will allow you to go wherever it is you need to go at the moment. Thank you so much, my Due Time crew, for helping me hold it down. And thank you, listeners, for helping me hold it down and just sharing this week with me. It's been a phenomenal week. Remember, accept Jesus as your personal savior right now, because later is not promised to you. I love you.